The death of several hundred migrants off the Italian island of Lampedusa this month has focused international spotlight on the broader, complex questions of EU policies regarding immigration and integration. According to one American Muslim leader, the United States model of integration has much to teach European countries at this moment in time. Syrian-born Imam Mohammed Bashar Arafat is founder and president of the Civilizations Exchange and Cooperation Foundation, which is based in Baltimore in the United States. The organization works to promote cooperation rather than confrontation between young people of different religions, cultures, and backgrounds. He spoke to Philippa Hitchin about the importance of supporting the religious integration of migrants across the world in order to prevent extremism and fanaticism.
The aim of CECF, or Civilizations Exchange and Cooperation Foundation, is really to foster dialogue and cooperation among different religions and cultures, and also to focus on the lessons of the previous civilizations and where it went wrong and where it went right in order for the people of this millennium to benefit from this lesson and to move forward in the right direction. We have study abroad programs for university level students, and also CECF is an advisor and consultant for all the cultural exchange students in the United States who come from Muslim countries. We have close to 57 countries. They come and they live with host families for 1 year, and CECF provide religious and cultural support for them throughout the year. CECF hold conferences and seminars, and the famous conference in the United States for high school students from all of these countries is called Better Understanding for Better World. It is an interfaith and interreligious and intercultural conference, promote leadership from an interfaith perspective.
These are very ambitious goals that you're looking at. How do you measure success, if you like, in these kind of programs?
After each program, after each conference, we really get a lot of responses from the students. We keep in touch with the students when they go back home, and we are getting feedback from the students how these conferences and these activities helped them when they went back home to view diversity from completely different perspectives, positive perspectives, and to view also religious diversity from a positive perspective. And now some of them are asking to do the same conferences and the same activities back home in their countries in Africa, in Southeast Asia, in the Middle East, and in Central Asia. To me, the cultural exchange students in America is an important phenomena because America is number one country in the world of cultural exchange students. And it is very important as an imam for me to help those international students to see the beauty of cultural diversity and religious diversity that we have in the U.S.
Presumably, you're also trying to train up, if you like, a new generation of political leaders, those who will be in the decision-making roles in a few years' time. Do you see already, perhaps, the fruits of some of this work you're
doing? So much, and now we are moving forward to have these conferences in different regions around the world. So we have, again, one for the alumni in Southeast Asia, will be in Malaysia, and one for the Balkan region in Macedonia, one for Europe in Germany, and one for North Africa in Morocco, and one for West Africa in Ghana and East Africa in Tanzania. The importance of these conferences right now to promote these values and these themes in different countries around the world, because most of the conflicts and wars are really resulting from our either ignorance of one another or our stereotype to each other, or our misinterpretation of our religion and sacred texts, which results in the feelings that I'm better than you because I'm Christian and you are Muslim, or I'm better than you because I'm white and you are black, or I'm better than you because I'm rich and you are poor, or I'm from the north and you are from the south. And now we have more threatening issue, and that is the issue of immigration. This is now a new rising threat for Europe. In the United States, I mean, America is an immigrant country. It's 300 years. People came from different parts of the world. In America, the immigrants, they feel this is home for them. I think as Muslims living in America, we have something to contribute, I guess, to the Muslim community in Europe and how to succeed in terms of being well integrated with the society, to pay attention to education, because that's the most important thing of development and changing your life for better, as well as the society who is hosting you. So today, those immigrants who are coming from different countries, those who came 30 years ago or those who came and they made it through the boats and they did not die in the sea, they are feeling, you know, lost in the streets of Europe. Not all the mosques, you know, have competent imams to help the newcomers how to integrate from a religious perspective, because these kind of issues are not taught in the religious seminaries in the Arab world or in Africa or in Asia. The religious institutions need a lot of reforms, but they don't say it because they feel, you know, shy to say it, I guess. One of the things from my perspective as an imam who lived in Syria for 27 years and then in the U.S. now for 23 years, I see that imams and religious leaders have to get out of their countries to see the world and how the world is running. We don't have exchange programs for imams. We don't have exchange programs for Muslim scholars. Today, the whole world is changing. But if you lived all of your life in Egypt, if you lived all of your life in Syria or in Lebanon or in Morocco or anywhere, and you have never traveled to see what does it mean to be a Muslim living in America? Today, we have a new phenomenon, 8 million Muslims living in America. You have more than 30 million Muslims living in Europe. What does it mean to be a minority Muslim? And now, how do you think also the minority Christians living in these majority Muslim countries should be treated? So we are really reaching a point where the fiqh or the jurisprudence of Islamic law need to constantly being re-looked at and reinterpreted based on the changes of the time. You cannot do that if you don't have exchange, if you are not traveling to see how the world is running today.
I imagine you must come up with a lot of resistance when you put forward these ideas.
I do.
I'm thinking of your own country, Syria, for example.
I'm not talking about Syria. I'm talking about the Muslim community in general. They are not used to see an imam coming to them through the U.S. embassy. For them, you know, you must be an FBI imam or CIA imam. But they are not paying attention to the fact that we are American citizens from Middle Eastern origin, from African origin, from Asian origins, whatever. That's the nature of America today. We are Americans like anybody else. The society in America respects your presence and would like to see you succeed. It's different than Europe. In Europe, still, there are a lot of resistance for, you know, foreigners. I don't see that only in Italy. I'm seeing it in Germany. I'm seeing it in Belgium. I'm seeing it in different countries. I travel and I do programs. This is an issue is going to become bigger and bigger day by day, and we have to address it rather sooner than later.
You're here in Europe bringing this perspective, as you say, from the United States, a very different perspective. What is your message to Christian leaders here, the Pope in particular, who has expressed his interest in pushing forward a more focused interreligious program?
I'm really so honored and delighted to see Pope Francis saying the right words and the right tone, and being in the right place in the right time. And I'm also delighted to see that he chose the name Francis, because to Muslims, Saint Francis of Assisi was a pioneer in crossing the walls of the Christendom during the Crusades to reach to the Sultan of Egypt, Al-Kamil, back then. To me, he was a leader of interfaith back then. Today, we need Saint Francis of Assisi's message. We need the message of the Pope to also be more prevalent in the United States among the Christian community as well. Some of them are really, you know, opening up to this message. But our problem is really radicalism, whether it comes from some of the Christians or some of the Muslims or some of the Jews or other religious groups. These kind of narrow-minded perspectives is going to hurt all of us. Our biggest threat is religious extremism and fanaticism. So I think it is the religious duty also of the Muslims to join hands with anybody who is advocating for respect for minorities, religious diversity, cultural diversity, because that's our only hope for a better life in Europe and in the United States.